We're doing Jewish history, and we were almost up to the year 2258. We had just learned about the great war between the sons of Esav and the sons of Seir. After Esav's passing, the sons of Seir were very upset with Esav and his children for bringing them to this war against Yosef, where they lost most of their troops. So they had decided they were going to attack Esav's children, and they brought in nations from the far out, and Esav also brought in other nations to help him, Esav's children. And then they had this massive war, and Esav's children were victorious. And they went on a pogrom, killing out the territory, killing out the people of Seir, leaving almost no one alive. They left behind only 50 lads that they took as servants and 50 girls that they took as wives. And they took the rest of the wealth for themselves. And they decided they're living there. And they stayed there on Mount Seir till when, for centuries. And they divided Mount Seir among the five sons of Esav. And they decided they're going to have one king. But they decided that they're only going to take a king who's a foreigner. They can't trust one of their own. So they made this pact that they're going to import their kings. So that's that brings us to the conclusion of that story. Now, we move on to the year 2258. There was a man there from the troops of Angias, the king of Dinhava. His name was Bela ben Beor. And he was a brave warrior. He was very good looking. And he was well learned. And he was very cunning. And he knew how to plan things and how to succeed at war. And so they all decided they're appointing him as king. And after declaring him king, they spread out a blanket, and every person threw into that blanket their gold nose ring and silver and their rings and their bracelets and the different ornaments they were wearing. They made him very wealthy with the gold and silver that they threw into that blanket. All kinds of precious stones. They made him a great throne. They gave him a beautiful crown. And Angias set up an army, and the sons of Esav would have to pay taxes to Angias, to his army. I'm sorry, not Angias, to Bela ben Beor and his men, who were troops from Angias. And Bela is king over Esav for 30 years. We advance 3 years later. And at this time, while all of this is going on in the land of Canaan, we have a person born into the family of Yaakov named Amram. We know who Amram is? Moshe's father, right? So Moshe's father was born in the year 2261. 9 years later, we've already been in Egypt for 32 years. Remember, Amram was born in Egypt. We're already down in Egypt as a family with Yaakov and the tribes. 9 years later, Yosef is 71 years old. And remember, Yosef was 30 when he became king, right? And then Pharaoh dies. And according to this, his son Migron took over. He was 41 years old, and he was king for 40 years. There are other midrashim that say that Yosef took over, that Yosef was king for 70 years in Egypt. But at any rate, coming back to here, he's going with this opinion that his son Migron took over. He was king for 40 years. And before Pharaoh passed away, he called in Yosef and he said, my son Migron should be in charge of you, but you take care of him. Meaning you guide him, you instruct him, he'll be the king, but I want you to tell him how to run the show. And that's what he did. So Migron is the new Pharaoh, and Yosef is instructing him. And the Mitzrim were very happy to have Yosef really running the show. So they name Migron Pharaoh, and Migron gives the whole kingdom over to Yosef, and he says, you run the show. And in fact, what happens is, Yosef is running Egypt, And the Egyptians look up to Yosef, and they're very happy having this king who has really saved and propelled the Egyptian economy forward. And they even had Migron refused, the people were very intent on having Yosef lead because they all felt he was the right leader. So the only problem was a technicality, that they couldn't have a foreigner be their king. There was a law in Egypt. You had to have an Egyptian king. So technically Migron was the king, but practically Yosef was running the show. And Yosef led the Egyptians to many victories. He led them to many wars. And he brought great prosperity. He even went as far north to the Philistines and conquered them. And Yosef ensured that all the neighboring countries were subservient to Egypt. They were all paying taxes. Year after year, they would get taxes from the neighboring countries. And we're going to see that this victory that Yosef achieved would last for hundreds of years. When the Jews leave Egypt, one of the threats to leaving Egypt is that all the countries around Egypt are all subservient to Egypt as well. Where are you going to go? Meaning, even if you got out of Egypt, you're going into territory that's really subordinate to Egyptian rule as well. You see that when Yisro runs away to Midian, so he's ran far away from Pharaoh, he's still scared stiff of Pharaoh. And when he hears that Moshe is a fugitive of Pharaoh's, he says, "Yikes, Pharaoh's going to have my head. How could I house you in my house?" And Yisro's going to put Moshe in jail because everyone's scared of the Egyptian empire. What Yosef built, this powerful empire that had nations all around subservient to it, that would last until the Jewish exodus from Egypt. It would be the Jewish exodus from Egypt that will bring the Egyptian empire down to its knees. But until that point, the Egyptians are going to be powerful and they're going to be the powerhouse around the world. So Yosef takes control from Egypt out to the Euphrates. And Yosef brought the Egyptians such prosperity and education and beauty. He made Egypt a much more beautiful place. So for 40 years, Yosef is king. And every year, he'd get taxes from all the countries, including Canaan, throughout his life. Every year, they all dutifully brought their taxes. And he had a pleasant, peaceful kingdom after he won all those wars. So the Egyptians enjoyed a golden era. Here they are, getting taxes from neighboring countries. And there's peace. His brothers are all living peacefully in Goshen. And the Jews are also prospering. So everything seems great. We move forward to the year 2288. And the descendants of Esav have had time to lick their wounds. After they lost that battle with Yosef, which brought on a new battle with Seir, and now they conquered Seir, and they've had a decade or two to regroup, to rearm themselves. And now they decide, we're going to go and save our brother Tzfo. Remember, Tzfo, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav, was taken into captivity. So this is also recorded by Josephus, that there was one descendant of Esav that was actually taken into captivity by the Egyptians. So they decide they're going to go and lead a war against the great Egyptian empire, and we're going to go and bring back our brother Tzfo and all the others who were taken into captivity, into slavery, into Egypt. And so now, in order to do that, they need a larger force. So they start going to the east, to the different tribes, their cousins, the descendants of Yishmael, and they tell them, let's make a pact together. Together we will attack the Egyptians. And they bring in 1,000 troops from the east, and they bring in the men of Angias, the king of Dinhava, and they're preparing for war. And this is where we'll pick up, Be'ezrat Hashem, tomorrow.